Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hey, everyone. I'm Laura Adams, and this is the Money Girl Podcast, where my mission is to help you live rich and love the journey. If you're ready for more knowledge, resources, and motivation to manage your money the best ways possible, you are definitely in the right place. I want to quickly say thank you before we get started for all the awesome 5-star reviews that you guys have submitted in iTunes. Please keep them coming. If you enjoy the show, that's really the best way to let me know. The first review in 2018 came from Bivens10, who says, "This podcast is exactly what I was looking for as a young professional lacking the basics of personal finances and retirement planning. Laura Adams delivers the information you need to know in easy to understand 15 to 30 minute episodes." Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Bivens10. Your reviews, comments, and questions are really the fuel that keep me motivated and keep this show going. So I can't thank you enough. And if you're a new listener, I'm thrilled that you're here and hope that you'll stick around by subscribing. You'll find the notes for each show and the full archive of podcasts, there are over 500 of them, in the Money Girl section at quickanddirtytips.com. This is a really important show because student loans are a big problem for many of you. I get lots of questions from listeners pretty much on a daily basis about how to handle your student loans, what are the best ways to get rid of them as quickly as possible. So if you or someone that you love is really challenged right now by student loans, or you know, you think you could be handling them better, this show is for you. This is episode number 526 called "Should You Refinance or Consolidate Your Student Loans?" Education debts can really take over your entire financial life and make you feel powerless in many ways. You want to make smart decisions about your debt, but sometimes the answers just aren't clear. You're really not sure how to prioritize that student loan debt in relation to all the other things that you want to accomplish. And the truth is, you have a lot more control over your debt than you think. So if you haven't revisited your student loan repayment strategy, it's a good time to get familiar with the options, and this show is definitely going to help you with that. I'm going to cover the difference between refinancing and consolidating your student loans. You'll learn how these options make debt more manageable and more affordable, which types of loans are eligible for these options, and the best places to shop if either option is right for you. Plus, I'm going to answer a question from a podcast listener about how to handle past due student loans, and we'll cover that at the end of the show. Understanding consolidation and refinancing can be confusing because the terms are often used interchangeably, and they're kind of used differently for different types of debt, such as credit cards and mortgages. So in this podcast, I'm going to review how consolidation and refinancing applies to student loan debt only. So let's start with consolidation. Consolidation means combining multiple student loans into one new loan. The idea is that managing one account with one monthly payment simplifies your financial life. You're just more likely to feel overwhelmed or to inadvertently let a payment due date slip through the cracks if you're dealing with multiple loans than if you have just one loan. It keeps you a little bit more organized. But how you can use a consolidation depends on the types of student loans that you have, and you get different results from consolidating federal loans versus consolidating private loans. And we'll talk more about private loans in just a little bit. So what I want you to understand is that true consolidation, when we're talking about student loans, true consolidation is only available for loans that originally came from a government program, such as a direct loan, Stafford loan, Perkins loan, or PLUS loan. So these are the different programs that the government offers for their federally backed loans. And the government offers a unique product called a direct consolidation loan. That's actually one of their products. That allows you to combine most types of federal student loans, but no private loans, into one new fixed rate loan. One of the upsides to a direct consolidation loan is that there's no cost. But the problem is it generally doesn't save you any money because the interest rate is fixed as a weighted average of the rates on the old loans being combined, rounded up to the nearest 1/8 of 1%. So that rate is basically the same rate as all the old rates that you were paying combined. However, consolidating can give you the option to change your repayment schedule. This is really where the power lies in consolidating. For example, if you have loans with 10-year repayments, you might be able to extend the consolidation term up to a maximum of 30 years. Now, stretching out the length of your loan reduces the monthly payments, which can save money in the short term. But please be aware that you end up paying more interest over the life of the loan. You're making more payments, and so you're paying more interest when you stretch out a loan for a longer term. Your credit history and your financial situation are not even factors for getting approved for a federal consolidation. So it's a great option if you're having trouble making your monthly payments and you're willing to kind of trade that short-term decrease in the payment, knowing that it's probably going to increase the amount of interest you pay over the long term unless you pay off that loan early. By decreasing that monthly payment, you increase your available cash flow each month, and that improves your debt-to-income ratio, which makes you more likely to get approved for other credit, such as a student loan refinance, which we'll talk about in a moment, a car loan, or a mortgage. So if you need to get credit, doing a federal consolidation on your student loans is a way to make you look more attractive to potential creditors. And if you're already behind on your student loan payments and you want to consolidate, you have to either catch up by making 3 consecutive monthly payments first, or you have to agree to repay your new consolidation loan according to one of several income-based repayment plan options. Another benefit of consolidation is that it may give you access to additional repayment plan options or forgiveness programs that you didn't have before. But it could also cause you to lose certain benefits that come with your original loans. And once those loans are paid off and you're issued a direct consolidation loan, those old loans no longer exist. It's like they are wiped out completely, and now you have a brand new consolidation loan. So be sure that you understand what's at stake before you erase those old loans completely out of the picture by consolidating them. Also, note that you can only consolidate student loans that are in your name. Education loans taken out by your parents, or if you have a spouse that has education loans, you can't combine your federal student loans with other people. All right, now let's switch gears and cover student loan refinancing. Hey there, I want to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts, Freakonomics Radio. Every week, host and best-selling author Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of business, economics, and so much more. He interviews CEOs, historians, and Nobel laureates to explore all kinds of topics, like why the best employees can make the worst bosses, and how whales went from being economic engines to environmental icons. If you're a curious person looking to better understand the world around you, you'll find everything you're looking for on Freakonomics Radio. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, back to student loan refinancing. I want to make sure you understand that refinancing is very different from consolidation. Refinancing is when a new loan with a reduced interest rate is used to pay off one or more existing student loans. It's available only from private lenders, not the federal government. So just to recap, consolidation is only offered from the federal government for multiple student loans. You can't consolidate one loan. You've got to have multiple federal loans to consolidate. And refinancing is for one or more student loans offered by private lenders. You can refinance one loan from a private lender, and you can refinance multiple loans from a private lender. And they may even allow you to refinance both federal and private loans together. Unlike with a federal consolidation, a private lender does not offer an interest rate that's a weighted average of your old rates. Remember, I told you that a consolidation doesn't really save money on interest because it's just a weighted average of all of your old rates. Well, that's not what happens with a private lender. They offer you rates based on your credit history and on your finances. So if your situation has improved since you took out a private loan, or if interest rates have gone down since you got a private student loan, you're likely to get a lower rate and save money. Optimizing your debt by getting a lower interest rate and a reduced monthly payment is the major benefit of refinancing. You may even choose a shorter repayment term, which could significantly cut the amount of interest you pay. But the downside of refinancing a federal loan is that you lose all of the benefits that come with it, such as income-based repayment plans and deferment. So depending on your financial situation, that may be less important to you than getting a lower interest rate. So you really have to be clear about what your objective is. So whether you should refinance or consolidate your student loans depends on what you'd like to achieve and how you answer questions like, do I have private or federal student loans? Do I qualify to refinance at a lower interest rate? And do I believe that I'll need the benefits that come with my federal loans? If you have federal loans, doing a consolidation is not as risky as refinancing them into a private loan. For instance, if you work in public service or any field that allows federal loans to be forgiven after 10 years, you would lose that option if you refinanced with a private lender. So always evaluate the pros and cons carefully before moving a federal loan to a private lender. Now, if you have private loans, it's always a wise idea to shop for a lower interest rate. There's really nothing to lose and only money to be saved by doing that. Be aware that each lender will evaluate you differently. So you want to get multiple offers when you're refinancing private loans. And again, there's nothing to lose, especially if they are low or no fees charged. If you're really struggling to pay your federal student loans, consolidation is probably a wise move. But if your finances and credit are in good shape, refinancing federal and private loans for a lower interest rate or a shorter term will help you pay them off faster. And if you're not sure where to start when you're shopping for a refinance, you might want to check out my loan comparison chart. It's a handy one-page PDF that allows you to see 12 of the best lenders side by side. You can download this resource in the notes for this show on the Money Girl section at quickanddirtytips.com, or you can text the phrase "my loan" with no space, "my loan" to the number 33444, and I'll send you the loan comparison chart. Okay, let's cover the question that I got from a Money Girl podcast listener named George T. George says, I was a mess with money growing up, but now after listening to the Money Girl podcast and just growing up, I feel motivated and want to get a handle on my student loans that are in default. Can you steer me in the right direction? How should I go about contacting debt collectors about my student loans? George, thank you so much for your question. And this is a really important topic because being in default on student loans is very serious. So you want to reach out to those debt collectors right away. I would just be really honest with them and let them know that, you know, you've had financial challenges, you've gotten behind, but that you want to discuss your options to get these loans current. Their contact information should be on any notices that you've received by mail or email. Or if you're not sure who holds these loans, you can find out by viewing your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. As I previously mentioned, if you're struggling with or are already behind on paying federal loans, doing a consolidation with an income-based repayment plan is a really good option. Now, if your past due loans are with a private lender, you could work out a repayment plan or perhaps negotiate a debt settlement for less than you owe. What's possible is going to depend on how willing the lender is to work with you. Settling generally works best when you have a lump sum of cash to pay right away. Now, settling is certainly best for your wallet because you end up paying less than you owe, but it's the worst situation for your credit because the account will show as settled for less than agreed, and creditors don't like to see that. Also note that any amount of private loan debt that's forgiven in a settlement is considered income, and that's going to be subject to taxes. If you can't settle for less, most collectors are willing to work out an affordable repayment plan. Believe me, they'd rather get something from you than nothing. And this option hurts your credit less than a settlement. No matter if you settle or arrange a repayment plan, get the agreement in writing from the collector before you send any money. Also, never give a collector your bank account information. They may want to draft payments, but that's not a good idea because an unscrupulous company could take more money than you want them to. So make arrangements just to send them a payment rather than having them drafted out of your checking account. If you have a large amount of past due student debt or it's very old, I would consult with an attorney who can help you understand your options based on the terms of your loan and the laws in the state where you live. And speaking of debt, if you're struggling or just looking for solutions to make what you owe cost less, even if you don't have extra money to pay on that debt, I'd really like you to join me in my new course called Get Out of Debt Fast, a proven plan to stay debt-free forever. It just launched, and I'm super excited to be able to offer it to you at a major discount during a promotional period. So for a limited time, the course is 85% off. That is a serious discount that brings the price down to the cost of a book, basically. So if you'd like to take advantage of this offer or just check out the course to learn more, text me. Text Debt Course, DEBTCOURSE, to the number 33444. Keep listening, learning, and leveraging your resources to grow richer every single day. That's all for now. I'll talk to you next week. Courtesy of Money Girl, your guide to a richer life.